Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Fridays with J. Joseph Harrington. Now, last week, Suk, you weren't here, but we were shorted because Jay Joseph was up at Chambers Bay.
Oh.
And we only got one segment of hot Blazer takes.
So we had to have hot, did we get hot Chambers Bay takes?
No. Well, I mean.
We didn't.
Yeah, not really.
I haven't been up there since they improved all the greens and everything.
And by improved, you mean let the Poiana grass take over?
Yes.
Are they nice?
They redid them. They're great.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That course is fantastic.
It is, but it's one of those things where it's like, God, if we lived up in Tacoma, how great would it be to have that as your Muni? But then, I hadn't played there since that first year they opened up. So what, 12, 13 years ago? And it's a grind. Like, it's not like, honey, I'm going to go out and play a quick nine, down at Rose City. It's, hey, if I'm speeding around this place, we're done in like 4 hours and 50 minutes of 600 feet and elevation changes and having to grind on every shot. And maybe the wind comes in off the sound. And I mean, it's not a quick little fun little track.
Now, there is something to be said for playing a quick nine holes and getting out of there in, hour and 40.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is not Chambers Bay. So I loved it. It was a great day with my dad and brother and father-in-law. But I hit the ball as well as I have in many, many years and had a stretch from 5, 6, 7, 8 where I went bogey, 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 double, even though I was hitting the ball incredibly. So
That's golf.
One of those courses. That's golf.
Hey, are you down with a 12-team college football playoff?
Actually, no, I'm not.
What?
Here's why. Okay. You ready?
No.
Okay. Now you're ready. We don't need it. Right. All we need is 8. Right. And 12 seems like, 12 to me seems like I don't want to say it's a money grab, but what you're doing, you've already put, what used to be an 11-game college football season, and then you added the conference championship games, and now you made it 12, and then you added a 12th regular season, so now the conference championship is 13, and then you have the semifinal game, and then there's 14. And so the teams that, by the end, are playing to the championship, they're playing a 15-16-game regular season, which is, an NFL season. And I'm not necessarily on board with that. What we need, what we've needed for this entire time, is an 8-team tournament, which allows every conference to have their conference champion in. It allows for a non-Power 5 conference champion, be that a Boise State, a Fresno, whoever it is from that year. And then it allows the years that the SEC has two teams in the top five, it allows the SEC to have two teams. The years when the Big Ten has two teams in the top ten, it allows for two teams from those conferences. That's what you need. You don't need 12 because you're going to start to dilute this at a certain point. And we're not trying to turn it into college basketball. All you're trying to do is find a true champion. So you take the true champions of all the conferences, you give the little guy a chance, you give those people who say, well, the SEC is so good, they got to have two teams, fine. Give them their and now you got your tournament. You don't need 12.
That was my thinking, too. I was reading that that got shot down. I guess the Big Ten and the SEC and their commissioners have the biggest voice. I guess that got shot down because and I hadn't thought of this, but from their standpoint, it made sense. Right now, you have four at-large berths. All four of the spots are at-large. And if you go to the eight team, there's only two at-large berths. Six are guaranteed in two, and I guess the SEC and the Big Ten especially both said no. We're not going to go to something where we have less at-large berths for our teams trying to, or our leagues getting an extra team in. So I was kind of surprised by that, but when you think about it, that kind of makes sense because you have to appease the big boys with that, but then you have to allow the little guys to have a spot at the table. And it sounds like the only way that the powers that be, the big boys, were going to allow it is if you only had five automatic berths, and then the group of fives weren't going to get along with it. And I guess that's how they ended up at 12.
And so that exactly that makes my point.
Yeah,
is that it's not about finding a champion.
No.
It's about, well, I'm not going to give up my spot, which means I'm going to lose money. It's about it's a money grab.
Yeah.
Making sure that everybody gets their money, and that's not what we as fans want. We want to find the true national champion, and you do that by taking the champions from each of the conferences, plus an at-large team from the, you know, from the little guys, and you find out who it is. I don't know. That logic makes sense from a financial perspective in terms of, you know, why they did it, but I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, see, I think I'd push back a little bit and say that I think I was with you before I sort of read about how they got to 12, and, you know, from a fan standpoint, you said, you know, like the idea is to crown a true champion. Well, I contend, you may disagree with this, but the same teams are going to win. I mean, it's an incredibly imbalanced sport. So all I'm looking for as a fan is entertainment value. And I think that the regular season, especially coming down the stretch, is going to be exciting as teams jockey for position into the tournament. And then more playoff games to me is better. It's more entertaining because I know in the end it's still going to be Alabama versus Ohio State or Clemson or whomever.
So the way this is set up and confirmed for me, so you're going to have the top two teams get buys into the second round.
Top four, so
12 teams. There's going to be, oh, I see what you're interesting.
Yeah. So the first weekend they're going to be on campus, and 5 through 8 host 9 through 12, and then you go on to play 1 through 4. The winners of those go on to play 1 through 4, and there's your that's how you get to the finals.
So how many extra games are we adding then? Are we adding 2 extra games?
Well, it depends on how. So if you went through, let's say Oregon wins the you go through the Pac-12, that's 12. You play in the Pac-12 title game, that's 13. If you don't get a bye, you would end up, if you win the national title and you are not one of the first four teams, you play 16 games. If you are one of the first,
here's the thing: like, we're still going back to, like, this just adds. So you have 4 bye spots, but you have 5 Power 5 conferences, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Again, you're going to be making a decision about who gets a bye and who has an advantage. Like, it literally just. It just baffles me that we have an option for a system in which everybody, with the 8-team playoff, the conference champions get in, right? You take your Boise State team, and then, yeah, you got 2 at-large bids. And you know, the argument is, well, you're still making a choice. Well, yeah, and my pushback to that would be then win your conference championship so you don't have to be in that position, right? So there's your 8 where everybody gets it. Now you can still win a conference championship and not end up with a first-round bye because somebody decides that you're not the best 4 teams.
I think they're terrified that you're going to get it's the SEC and the Big Ten, like Suk said. They're just terrified that they have teams that are better than other conference champions that under your 8-teamer wouldn't go.
Yep.
And they're right.
And I guess they have the biggest sway in the room. And, you know, for them, and I ask you this, because you had a really good team, obviously, at Oregon. And But from a talent standpoint, you guys aren't Miami and you guys weren't, you know, the Nebraska, but you were obviously one of the best handful of teams in the country. But so I wanted to ask you, because I make the argument that for the non-Alabamas and LSUs, this becomes way harder to win a national championship. Because think about it, if you're Oregon and you have a good run, you may have to go through USC, and this is, you know, week back to back to back. You go through USC in the Pac-12 title game. Then you play, let's say, in Oklahoma in the first round in like a, you know, a 7-10 sort of thing. Then you get Ohio State. Then you get Alabama. You have to win those four games in a row. And I just don't know how many teams in the country outside of the truly four or five, maybe six elite recruiters. I just think that is a very, very daunting task, you know, for, and so I was going to ask what you would have thought of that if you guys had to go through that gauntlet when, you know, you had that great Fiesta Bowl team.
Well, first of all, I completely agree with you. I mean, this is the, again, making my initial point, this is the rich getting richer. Yeah. This is a solidifying the, you know, those that currently hold power, those that currently hold the money, they are, your point exactly. They're going to make more money and they're going to get more championships for that exact reason. Now, that being said, you know, and you were in the same boat. I mean, when you're a 21-year-old dummy, nobody's going to tell you that you can't beat Oklahoma and USC and Ohio State and Alabama back to back to back, because all I wanted to do was play Miami. Right?
Yeah.
And you couldn't have convinced me that we wouldn't have beat that Miami team in the same way that you couldn't have convinced Craig Krenzel and Maurice Claret that they weren't going to beat the Miami team, you know, the following year. But it's not going to deter the players, but there will be an inevitable reality at the end of, say, 10 years where you're going to look back and exactly what you said is, it's not going to help the Boise States. It's not going to help the Oklahoma States.
No.
Right? Those teams that every once in a while have a really good season through the Big 12 or through the Pac-12 or, you know, or even the Big 10, you know, the years that Northwestern makes a run. They're not going to win the national championship, right? Like you're not going to end up with the result that you're looking for, which is more parity in college football, which is the excitement that you see from Creighton making a run in the NCAA basketball tournament, or, you know, the year that James Madison. I mean, you're not going to see that for that very reason, because it is truly going to be a gauntlet of a schedule that a team that doesn't necessarily have the depth, the talent depth that an Alabama or a Clemson has, can necessarily get through over the course of 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, so as long as we're honest about it, and like you said, I think I'm fine going to 12. I'm with you. I thought 8 was perfect, but as long as we're honest about it, and look, it gives us a couple more games. You may get some upsets in that first round. I just kind of roll my eyes at the people that think that this is some sort of equitable thing, and that this gives more people, you know, more opportunities about it. And because that's, well, yeah, I'm with you. It's just not the case.
How would you guys get more equity in college, more balance in college football? We will ask Joey Harrington that question, but we'll have to do it next. Fridays with Joey Harrington, courtesy BMW Portland on The Fan. All right, we're back with Joey Harrington picking up our college football playoff expansion discussion. All right, so I teased the question. I'll just ask you point blank, Joey, how do you get equity in college football?
Under the current system, I mean, it's, you know, Sook's got a decent point. I mean, initially you created that parity by limiting scholarships, right? What did that happen 30, 40 years ago?
Yeah.
But God, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you truly get that parity in college football, except to say that for whether it's Boise State running the Statue of Liberty, whether it's or Oregon, you know, beating the Colorado team, or Ohio State beating Miami. Like, those games can happen, you know, any given Saturday. We'll just use the phrase. But they're not going to happen every Saturday in football, and in the way that they can in a basketball tournament. And so by setting up a situation like Suk says, where you're going to, if you're Boise State, you're going to have to go through a four-week gauntlet, a five-week gauntlet of teams, which, you know, as I'm saying that, maybe that's what you want to see. Like, maybe you want to see the Boise State prove that they can do it, so that it eliminates any doubt. I don't know. I'm curious. I'd like to set up just – let's just talk through a situation. So what does this actually look like? So the five conference champions get five spots of the 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have seven spots left. So you're going to take a Boise. You're going to take a Boise State.
The right? highest, the highest ranked group of five champion is what I is the way I understand it.
Yes.
Right. So now we've got six, and so now we truly have six at large selections.
Right.
Is that how this is?
That
set
is
up?
Correct.
That is
so,
correct.
And again, this is just this is going to drive me crazy, because what we're going to see is we're going to see three SEC teams, two Big Ten teams, and somebody else, right? So what it's going to end up being is four teams from the SEC and three teams from the Big Ten making up the majority, if not a larger portion of than the majority of these teams. Like that's not. That's not what anybody outside of the South or the state of Ohio wants to see.
Maybe not wants to see, but I mean, aren't they the best? Like, I mean, the SEC is the best league. They have generally the best teams. They usually have teams that are better than other leagues' conference champions. I mean, that's just it's just the truth of the matter. I think the way to get equity in college football, one way to start would be a complete overhaul of the system. You cannot have five different leagues pulling in five different directions, only looking out for their own ass
with different monies coming
yeah
in.
I mean, exactly, it's so right. Imbalanced. You have to have them all tugging together like a, I don't know, the NFL, yep, like a league, and you, if you were able to structure something that way, which God knows when that will be, the way they move at a snail's pace in college football, then I think you start to look at, you know, teams being able to compete that aren't Alabama or you know, Ohio State. But other than that, that's what I said at the beginning. I just think, for me as a fan, it's just all about entertainment value. Just be fun. I know Alabama's probably going to win it again, or, you know.
It is adorable Ohio that State. The example we use is like the Cinderella is Ohio State beating Miami. That's the little engine that could.
Yeah, I mean,
is Ohio State, but okay, that's the one
okay,
we point
but,
to.
But let's back up on this, though, and I was going to ask the question, because Ohio State, remember, there was a time when Michigan was better than Ohio State, right? That actually did happen in our lifetime. But what happened, because for both of you guys, when we were growing up, we saw a Georgia Tech national champion. We saw a Colorado national champion.
Yep.
We saw, did West Virginia win it with
West Virginia
Major
never
Harris?
Did.
They didn't.
No.
They didn't win it with Major Harris.
No.
Okay, that's right. They lost to Notre Dame. But we saw teams throughout that stretch that were not Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State win a national championship. And yep. So I guess maybe I'll throw the question back to you, is what has happened from then until now?
They never had to play them. I use it the worst example. Well, I guess it's the best or the worst example, and it's a sham. And I went there, and I don't mean to rain on their parade. BYU won a national title in 1984, and I think the best team they beat all year was like ranked 19th in the country. So yes, Darian Hagan and those guys at Colorado and Georgia Tech, those were really good teams. You can't convince me, but at the end of the year, they went and played maybe the number 8 team in the country in a bowl game. And if they won that and they were undefeated, there's your national title. You can't convince me that if they had to go play whoever was the best team in the SEC or play Ohio State, just like if BYU in their bowl game had to go play Washington that year, I think they get a mud hole stomped in them. So it's.
So you're saying because of the setup. At that time.
Yep. Yep. That would be like when Central Florida went undefeated or Boise State went undefeated. Back in the old day, if there was no one else that was undefeated, you had a chance. You had a chance and someone's like, well, they were undefeated, but we've all kind of grown up and looked at that and was like, yeah, you're not the best, so go away. And now we make you prove it, and you just you can't prove it against those. You can't prove it, especially back-to-back weeks against those teams, especially with the line play. There's just not enough linemen to go around, and the teams that stockpile them, they win because skilled players are out there. You can find receivers, you can find quarterbacks. You can't find the horses. Alabama, you know, when Oregon played in the two national title games, those were damn good teams. The best player on the field at Auburn wasn't Cam Newton. It was Nick Fairley. And when they played Ohio State, it was Bosa in the middle on the edge. And their skilled players could play with them, but they didn't win up front. And for the little guys, the Boise States, the Central Floridas, you just don't have the mass. Not week in, week out.
That's an interesting point because I remember I'm sure I've told you the story when we played Texas in the Holiday Bowl. And I was sitting. We were at the San Diego Zoo, and I was sitting and having lunch with my offensive lineman, who, you know, Ryan Schmid, God bless him, was our center at 273 pounds at the time, and you know, we got guys that worked their butt off and were a fantastic group, but we didn't have one player from that 2000 offensive line go play anywhere. You know, didn't go play in the NFL, and we were sitting there at lunch and, you know, doing one of those both teams have a day at the San Diego Zoo. And I was sitting with the offensive linemen when Leonard Williams, Sean Rogers, and Mike
Leonard Williams was their offensive lineman, yeah.
It was Leonard Williams and Mike Williams and Sean Rogers and Casey Hampton. The four of them walked by, and I will never forget the look on every single one of our offensive linemen. Like, their ice cream cones dropped to the floor, their jaws fell open, and they just watched these men, because Mike Williams and Leonard Williams, their tackles, were both over 6'5", 6'6", 330. Sean Rogers and Casey Hampton. Casey Hampton was only 6'1", but he was the same height as he was width. And, I mean, these guys all went on to play in the NFL for a long time. And our offensive linemen were looking at them like, we got no chance against them. I walked like, come on, guys, like patting you on the back. Like, let's go. Get your jaws off the ground. We can do this. But there was a massive difference. And it's that who gets off the bus first, yeah, right? Which player do you send off the bus first to try and intimidate the other team? And then, yeah, the Alabamas and the Clemsons and the Texases have those players.
Mike Williams was at the combine with me. And I remember, like, we were in line together to get weight or whatever, you know, offensive lineman. I've never felt more inadequate. Brian McKinney and Mike Williams were at the combine, and I remember looking at them and then looking at me and being like, that's why I'm not going in the first two rounds.
Well, the only other thing I'll say is everything you guys are saying is right. You guys played the game. The best alternative, if you're not going to fix it, and I still contend this is actually more exciting if you're an Oregon fan, even though this is going to be harder for them to win at all. Yeah. You're going to be in the dance more.
More big games.
Yes, yeah. You're going to have these big moments, these big chances. And I think that's really all this can do, or all it's going to do, is give fans, if you're a Utah fan or Oregon State, all Oregon State needs to do now is somehow win the Pac-12, right? Like, if you get hot at the end of the year and you make a run at the North title, you get into the Pac-12 title game, you got a chance now to be in the big tournament.
Not even that. Under the current system, they went back and looked at it, and both Arizona and Utah, more of a, you know, comps with Oregon State than the, you know,
Colorado Washington was in there too.
But yeah, Arizona and Utah both would have made one of these.
So with Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado.
The 1 year with Mike McIntyre.
Yeah, so you got three squads. Washington State did not. I thought maybe the Gardner Minshew year, but they got left out. They were like 14th. But so there will be more of those small schools that get thrown.
You get a chance. And that's ultimately more fun for the fans. That's really all we can. That's really all we have to hang our hat on.
You know what this reminds me of? Yeah, what's the Hunger Games?
And
but it's like, and of course I'm drawing a blank on the president's name, who of course was in Animal House and is one of the great
Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland, and he sits there and he says, you know what the worst thing you can do is give them hope. Because hope is a dangerous thing. And that's really all you're doing to these, is you're just giving a little bit of hope to Utah and Arizona. And at the end of the day, like we said, 10 years from now, it's still going to be Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State, but you're just giving them a little bit of hope.
Yeah. Just a little, hey, Obama, just a little something to
Obama
dream.
Obama said hope was a good thing, so.
Yeah, just throw him a nugget. Just chew on this for a little while. I'm going to splash a little water over here while I go and win a national championship over there.
Well, good stuff, Joey. Good stuff today. Thank you.
That's it?
Yeah,
no,
we're done.
Today?
No.
Wow.
No. Unless you have any hot Blazer coaching takes before we go.
I am curious. I think it is interesting that Jason Kidd said that he is now not even going to entertain the job after Lillard said that he wanted him as the coach and cited that as a reason. That was an interesting. I thought that was an interesting take.
What does that tell you?
I don't know. We'll get back to that next week.
Okay. That sounds good. Put a pin in it. The great Joey Harrington every Friday, 5:30 here on The Fan. Thanks, Joey. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Joey Harrington on The Fan Fridays, brought to you by BMW Portland, where relationships matter. Visit BMW Portland on Southwest Jefferson downtown or BMWPortland.com. The club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.